Well, it's good to, let me get my mic just fell off my tie here. I'll get it back on. All right, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. What was the verses I gave to y'all to read today? You remember for tonight? I don't see if you did your homework. Okay. Well, Psalm 37. You turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. Man, Psalm is a great Psalm, how to stop worrying and start living. We live in a very fearful, worry age, I tell you that. For everybody I come around is so worried and fearful. And you know the Lord don't want us to be fearful. We know He has a plan and purpose for His church, His people. Amen. And we get ready to go home to the Father. I tell you, we're going to see His face, I tell you, real soon. This psalm is one of a great psalm, the Psalm of David. It was written by, and it's one of the perfect alphabetical psalms here. And there is much exhortation in this psalm about faith and trust. And that's our part as God's people, is to trust God and not to be fearful. I had the opportunity to go to the Ukraine many years ago. And when we were getting ready to go, I said, Lord, we're willing to go. And the Lord provided for us to go. I mean, He just made all the ways. We can go, a passport and the financial aid to go and everything. And we went to Ukraine, and we had one of our missionaries over there. And before we got going, I just started hearing all these bad things happening all over the world, people being blown up and shot and all that stuff. And, you know, for a minute, fear came upon my heart and my life. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I want to go or not. But He gave me a wonderful promise. Let me give you the promise. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, the last part of verse 5, it says, and Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And here it is, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me. You know, ever since when He gave that verse to me, that promise, I had no fear whatsoever. And so we live in a very fearful world, and we need the focus on the Lord Jesus. I tell you that. It really does. Psalm 37, let's start with verse 1 and 2. We're going to read a verse here for just a moment and kind of get our focus. It says, fret, and not thyself because of evil doers. Man, it's all around us, isn't it? It's even out in the country, cities, everywhere. Neither be thou envious against the work of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Just remember this one thing. That word fret really means being fearful. And remember this, a fearful heart is not trusting the Lord. And He wants us to trust not our heart, but the Lord. That's the most important thing. And we see in this chapter, there's five words I want to get you to write down, in not on your mind or a piece of paper, but write them down in your heart. If you write them down in your heart, it'll stick. If we can get it up in the mind, we can lose it real quick. But here's the five words I want you to look at tonight. We're going to look at tonight that's very important for all of us. And the first word I want you to look at, trust. We're going to look at that verse in just a minute. The next word we're going to give to you tonight is delight. And we need to be happy people. We don't need to be going around like we don't have any hope. We need hope today. And then the third word I want to give to you, commit. And one thing the Lord wants us to be, committed Christians. He don't want nobody wishy-washy. Don't straddle the fence. You ever hear the story of the soldier that he decided he's going to wear Yankee blue jeans, blue pants, and a gray jacket. So he said nobody won't bother him. So he got shot from both sides because he straddled the fence. So you don't be shot from both sides, you know. And so here's another word we see, commit. And here's a real important word that we don't claim too much. Rest in the Lord. Rest to the people of God. It says in Hebrew. And remember, the battle's not ours, but God's battle. And we got to rest. And here's the one of the hardest words I'm going to give you tonight. And we don't like this word too much, but here's a word I'm going to give to you. Wait. Wait on the Lord. And don't be discouraged. Wait on Him. I was looking at the word, the first verse. Let's look at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I'd like to look at something that's very important that we all need as God's people, and that is trust in the Lord. And as it says in God's word, casting all thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But that trust really means to rely upon, feed on his faithfulness. Always remember, God is always faithful. These many years I've been pastoring and serving the Lord and working for him and serving him, he's been mighty faithful to us. I know the last church, when I resigned from being at a church for over 25 years, and when I left, I didn't know where we were going to go, what we were going to do. We didn't have much, we had no income outside of the church. And there's a part of my life that I had to trust the Lord. And you know what? The Lord provided everything. I never got behind on payment. And it's a place that you just come to the Lord. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. You call me in the ministry. You call me to serve you. And I'm going to trust you to provide for me. And he does. But it really means that God is faithful to his word. When we trust him, we don't have to be worried, do we? We don't have to be worried whatsoever. And I'm just thankful that God is faithful to his people. And I just like this one verse in Psalm 89:5. It says, in the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also in the congregation of the saints. God is always faithful. Sometimes we're not so faithful, are we? And we need to be faithful to him because he loves us. And that expression, we should love. Love returns love, doesn't it? And that's what he wants. But God is faithful to his people. Now think about God was with Moses crossing the Red Sea. He was with him all the way. And God was with Abraham and Isaac, providing a lamb, Jehovah Jireh. He provided the lamb for him. And I think about David and fighting the Goliath. He won the battle for him. The battle wasn't his. He came in the name of the Lord, didn't he? And when you come in the name of the Lord, you can be sure something is going to happen. And we need to come in the name of the Lord more often than we do. And I think about Daniel. I think about Daniel that's so important here in the lion's den. And you know, God shut the lion's mouth. He was just having fun with those lions back there. And I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. My wife and I had devotion. I know we read that. You know, their hair wouldn't even singe. They had the fourth person down there with him, and that was the Lord Jesus. And he's taking care of all of those guys. When you love the Lord and he loves you, he's going to take care of you. But he says here in this psalm, trust in the Lord, do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. I think about the children of Israel, how they went out in the desert, not knowing where they're going to go. Moses was leading them. He provided for them all the time. They didn't like what he provided sometime, and they complained more than they did rejoicing. But he wants us to rejoice as well. But we see even Elijah. Remember, he had 450 false prophets. So who's going to call fire down? These 450 false prophets are Jehovah Jireh going to do it. God himself. So they prayed and they did all kinds of things. They couldn't get no answer. They lashed themselves. They went crazy. And remember, old Elijah, he just made fun of those guys. He said, pour all the water on the altar. Keep pouring the water on it. They got water all over that altar in the wood. And they said, he prayed, and what happened? And the fire fell. Boy, the Lord, all he wants us to trust him, and he can do great things. Like I said this morning, we need revival. We need it bad as God's people than ever before. We're too complacent what we're doing. We've got to get out of our routine and trust God what he wants us to do. And do y'all believe that? I believe that. I do. And we got to have revival. The only hope for our own personal life. We need to have revival. And revival is just a new obedience to the Lord. It's really a new love for Him, a new love for His Word, and new love for souls. Get in love with Jesus and all these other things fall right in place. That's what it really boils down to. But He wants us to trust Him, believe Him, and that He will make a way for us as we trust Him by faith. And it says the just shall live by faith. It's mentioned three times in the Bible. In Habakkuk, Romans, and Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. That's what Christianity is all about. Living by faith. Trusting God for the unbelievable. You know? That how He can do and move and work in our hearts and lives. And how He wants us to go on with Him so much. But He wants us to trust in Him. I think of the great verse we all know. And it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? He will direct your path. You know, as calling the pastor, if we trust Him, He's going to direct your path. You all know this is a man that God wants. There will be no doubt about it. He leads, He guides, but we got to trust Him. You want the man that God wants, not what you want. Just remember that one thing. It's not what you want to be the pastor. It's what God wants to put the man here behind this pulpit to be your shepherd of your life. That's what you want. But I'm thankful that we can trust Him. And where we get in trouble when we lean on our own understanding, that's where we get in a mess. We reason things out and try to solve our problems ourselves. But He wants us to trust Him. Well, let's go down to the next verse. The first word is what? Trust. We need to trust Him with all of our hearts and soul and mind. I like this verse. It has a great meaning to it. And here it is. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And what does that really mean? It means us to be happy. You know that? He wants us to be happy. And it's really going back to, you're going to be happy when you're doing God's will. If you're out of God's will, you're not going to be a happy Christian. I guarantee you. You know, it just don't work that way. But it's so important that we be in His Word. And the Word of God just does something to you. Just like those songs we were just singing just a minute ago. Man, I tell you, that make your socks go up and down after you hear those songs, you know? It just makes you rejoice in the Lord. And make it, wow, the Lord's done. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord provided songwriters to write songs that we can enjoy? I think about Fanny Crosby. She wrote 8,000 songs. We won't sing them tonight, but she wrote 8,000. She was blind, and God. She used to write poems, and she got saved before she started writing all these poems. But after she got saved, her husband was a minister of music, and all those poems came in a song. Blessed Assurance, Jesus of Mine, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. God can use anybody. If we want to be trusting Him and we want to be happy in the Lord, and it says in God's Word here, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, He shall give thee desires of thy heart. And He wants us to be happy in knowing God's will and doing God's will. You know that's most important? You know, when you're happy and you trust in the Lord in your life, and when somebody asks you, will you do something for the church today? Will you go by and see Mrs. Jones or Mr. Jones or maybe a family like y'all did this morning? That shows love, you know? But it just penetrates in our hearts that we're here not to warm a pew. We're here to serve. Amen. We're here to serve. All of us. And we're our team. You know, you're a team here. And we got to work as a team. You know, you think about Alabama or when they play as a team. If the quarterback says, I'm just going to play for myself tonight, they'll lose, I guarantee you. And that's why we need to be a team and come together and love the Lord. But we need to have discernment of the will of God. We must know what the will of God is before we can do it. You got to know the God will. He has a will for us, a plan. Isn't that wonderful that He has a plan and purpose for all of our lives? We're not here to just warm a pew. We're here to serve. And He has that plan for us and you. All of us. In Psalm 40 in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And boy, the law just, when the word gets in your heart, I don't know about y'all, but I just want to go out and share it. You know, I just want to share it. Fill the station, pump the gas. I'll be talking to a man next on the other side of the pump and talk to them about the Lord, give them some good news, a gospel tract. And you just want to do it. But another thing that's very important here, being delight and happy, and it says here, and he shall give the desires of the heart. And you got to have right desires to get what the Lord's going to want to give you. You got wrong desires, he's not going to give you a thing. And when he does give it, if you're going to boast about yourself getting it, I'll tell you, that's not scripture at all. When the Lord does something, praise him. Tell, like the brother here this morning told us, the Lord did something special, and we should share because it gives us motivation. Hey, I can do that too. And that's so important, all of life. But it says here, in this verse, he says, I delight to do thy will, O God, yet thy law is within my heart. And there must be another thing about doing God's will in our lives. That must be a commitment to do it. We have a plan and purpose for the church here. You have goals, what you want the church to be. And we must be committed to it. He wants us to be committed, first of all, to the Lord, and then committed our life as serving the Lord. That is so important. Turn with me to Psalm 25 for just a moment. In verse 25, let's look at verse 4 and 5. Look what it says in verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 25. There's another Psalm of David. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path. Let me ask you a question. Are we teachable to follow his path? You know? And that's what's most important, that when he's teaching us something, are we willing to follow? That's why you're going to be happy, because you're following the Lord. And you want to please God more than anybody. You're not going to please anybody else but the Lord. And if that falls in place, you'll please everybody around you. And but it says here, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. And here's another one. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. So he wants to show us. He wants to lead us. And we got to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Like I talked to this morning, we got to be sensitive. He's the one that leads and guides and directs our steps. And I'm thankful for that. Doing the will of God is not always easy, folks. It's not always easy. But we're going to be happy what we're doing for the Lord. We do it for him, not for us. And I just like Psalm 143:10. It says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprighteousness. He wants to lead. He wants to bless. You know what? The Lord wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. You know that? He wants to pour a blessing around this church. That when people know something's happening here at this church, there's something's going on down there at that church, I'd like to go down there and see what's going on. Because there's some joy down there, but we don't have. It gets contagious, doesn't it? Being happy. I see a lot of frown faces today, but he wants us to be. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of stress on a lot of people, making ends meet and all those things, worrying about our country. But it's in the Lord's hands, the whole thing. All right, let's go back to Psalm 37. Here's the third word I want to give to you. Remember, the first word was what? Trust. The second word was delight, to be happy. And that happiness is not dependent on us. It's dependent on the Lord working in our life and doing God's will. Doing God's will. That's a commitment we got to make. I want to stand for the Lord, or do I just want to play church? Are we playing church? We don't need to be playing church. We got to get serious. I like to hear one day, this whole church is full. Because people know something's happening here in this community. And when they hear that, they will come. When we go, they come. When we don't go, they don't come. It's that simple. Well, here's the third word. Commit. Thy way into the Lord, it says, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And we need to be committed Christians. How to stop worrying and start living? We got to be committed Christians. We got to be committed to what we're doing here. It's not for me. It's not for anybody else. It's for the Lord, the whole thing. But I like that verse. There's very few people that are really standing for what the Lord really means. He wants us to have surrendered life. When I got saved and I went to a Christian camp, and first time I had that, all right, I want all by at camp to go have a devotion. Man, I didn't know what a devotion was. And I said, what in the world are you talking about? Said, go read your Bible somewhere. Go pray. And I remember I went down by the lake. There's a bunch of big old pine trees around there, real nice and quiet and everything. The Lord was speaking to me. And I said, Lord, I'm not much, but I just want you to take me and use me the way you want to. I didn't say, Lord, I want to be a pastor. No, I didn't say that. Lord, just use me where you want me. And the Lord, he did. He opened up doors I never seen before. And you know what? He opened up doors here as well. We got to be committed people. Get serious about the things of God, because people are dying and going to hell. If we don't tell, nobody else will. And I tell you, most people I come in contact with, they don't know the Lord. They're lost. They're undone. They're worried. They're fearful. And we got to be committed to say, Lord, I'm going to tell this person about Jesus today. And he gives you that desire. I can't motivate you to do that. But the Lord can. You get so full of God's word and his love for you, you can't help to go out and share the good news. You know? And he will put people in your life, in your day, that person needs to hear something good. We give out little tracts to cashiers at the stores, and they look for us when we come in and say, you got any good news today? And we got to give good news out to the people, but we got to be committed about it. We're going to do it. The devil will always try to make you fearful, scared. What will those people say? That's all right. They might say things bad to you, but you've done your part. Remember, our part is to what? To water, plant and water. God brings the increase. So I'm just thankful for this verse. It just has so much. I think about Luther in Germany. I think of him making a stand in the Catholic Church. He said, here I stand. He made a commitment that the false teaching of that denomination was wrong, and paying for their sins that they can be forgiven. And he's made a stand. He wrote his 95 theses on the wall and pinned it on the door. And boy, that started a fire, didn't it? But we can thank the Lord for Luther and how he stand in Germany during that day. I think of John Knox in Scotland, a man of courage and fight of the faith. A Presbyterian. He started a Presbyterian church. You know, he was burned to the stake because of his faith. Boy, you talk about commitment. That is some commitment there. I think about John Calvin in France. Calvin was born a leader in France, started the Baptist Church. But we see people are committed here. It says, commit thy way into the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And that commitment is getting serious with God. We need more prayer time than we ever had before. None of these lay me down to sleep prayers. We're really getting serious about praying and let God do the work that only he can do. And when we pray, the Lord hears. I guarantee he hears your prayers. He hears anybody's praying to him for revival in our hearts. We are committed, Lord. I'm going to make my stand here, and I'm going to live for him. That's what he wants, folks. We got to be committed to him. I think of all those men I mentioned to you, they made a stand, every one of them. And we wouldn't be having the freedom we have today if they hadn't made this stand. What kind of stand? You don't stand for something, you fall for everything. You will. You fall for socialism and all that stuff. All right, we're getting through here. But he says in verse 7, let's go to verse 7. I like this verse. And this is the fourth word. Rest in the Lord. Man, I like that word, don't y'all? Boy, we are struggling and trying and doing all this thing and trying to do, build a church in our own strength and our own might. And the Lord said, hey, rest in me. Let me build your church. Man, he's the one that's going to do it. We got to rest in him. He's got the power to bring the people in. Our part is to present the gospel when they come and be ready for them. And you know why a lot of times the Lord don't bless the church, they don't have people coming in? The church is not ready for the people. We got to get ready, be ready to teach, to get involved in teaching boys and girls, adults, where singing in the choir, whatever it might be. We got to get ready. If we don't get ready, the Lord's not going to send anybody. He won't. He won't do it. We got to be prepared. But I like these verses here. It's just a great verse. I think of the verse talk about rest in the Lord. It talks about faith. It says in Hebrews 11:6. Y'all probably know this verse, but I like it. But it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. We don't have faith, your church's not going to be built too much. They're not grow much. It takes faith to build a work. And one thing you know, you got to believe God. You got to believe, Lord, I have faith. I believe you. I want to see something done here. I want to see people coming down this aisle and getting saved. Amen. Boy, it's not like you in a church service and seeing people walking that aisle and coming kneel on the up here and asking Christ to be the Savior. Boy, does that do something for you? Boy, it does something for me. Boy, it just gets me all excited that here's a person heard it and they believe it and they accepted it. But I'm thankful that we can rest in the Lord, and that is so important. But let me finish this verse. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe, trust, rely, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligent do what? Seek him. You know it says in Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. He has a listening ear. We got to seek him. All through the Bible it's talking about seek the Lord. Seek him. And we got to get real serious about the things of the Lord. If we don't get serious, the church would die. That's how simple it is. I know churches in Montgomery, the church is dying. Because there's no life in the church. It's deadness. Some churches so cold, you can almost ice skate down the aisle just about. There's some cold churches, man. We've been in churches where we went visited a church one time and the usher came up, hey, you can't sit on this row. This is Mr. Jones' row. You can't sit right here. So I said, okay. We went to the next row. This is Mrs. Smith's row. You can't sit on this row. I said, okay, goodbye. We walked out. But should we do that? Oh, my goodness. Saying that this is my row? No one else can sit on this row but Mrs. Smith and Mr. Jones or whoever it might be? Man, I've been in churches like that. There's no life in it whatsoever. It's deadness. But I just like that verse. It's so important in our life. I want you to keep your Bible marked right here, and we're going to go to the New Testament for just a moment, okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, okay? We want to talk about the rest of the Lord, resting in him. Chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 28 through 30, okay? We're talking about rest now to the people of God. And this is what he says. This is what Jesus said. Come unto me. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? He always has his arms out for us as a church. He knows that we have weak points in our church. We know weak points in our life. But the invitation always that we can come to him anytime. Anytime. He says, come unto me, All ye that labor are heavy laden. And here's a promise with that invitation. What will he do? I will give you what? Rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. He says, learn of me, and I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Wow, what a wonderful promise. He's waiting. He's waiting for God's people to get right, get things right with God, and do the will of God. That's what we're not here to just warm people. We're here to do the will of God. We got to rest in him and claim his promise. The invitation is always there for us. And that people know that, well, it's something happened down there. There's people having revival down in that church. I want to go down there. That people getting straightened out with God. It's got to begin with all of us, not just one person. It's got to begin revival in my heart for the Lord that I can live for him. Don't you want to see this church bless? And the Lord wants to bless it. And he's there. He said, I'm ready to pour out a blessing to you. But rest in me and commit yourself to him. But I like that last verse, verse 30. It says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I'm thankful that his burden is always light. When we come to Calvary, we leave those burdens at the cross, can't we? At his feet, at Jesus' feet. All right, let's go back to Psalm. We're about to finish up here. Here's Psalm 37. What's the words we were already giving you now? Remember, trust, delight, commit, rest. Here's the fifth word. This is probably one of the hardest words. Okay? And here it is in the same verse, verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. What the Lord's going to do? Well, as we wait, we're waiting and trusting God to give you a pastor. And we don't have to wait till the pastor comes. We need to have revival now. Be in tune with the Lord. And be in unity. It's so important to be in oneness with Christ. The early church, how it started, they were in prayer. And they were in oneness together. Wanting to see God to move. And remember Peter preached? Over 3,000 souls came to know the Lord. He's an old fisherman. He didn't have no doctor's degree. Man, he was up there just telling like it is. He said, repent, repent. And repent is you going this wrong direction. And the old, like the old drill sergeant says, about face, and you turn about face. And that's what Jesus said. Turn about face, church. Turn about face. Let me do it. You've been doing it too long. Let me take charge of this church. And we let him be in charge of that church. It's going to be a different ball game altogether in our life as God's people. We're going to see this church pack. We're going to see God's working, moving, speaking to us, calling young people to go in the mission field and serve the Lord. And we should say, hallelujah. Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But wait on the Lord. Or wait patiently on the Lord. And there's a lot on that then. All right, turn with me to Psalm 27, please, quickly. 27. And I like to look at verse 14. I like this. There's a lot of things about waiting. God's time is always the right time. Always remember that. As we wait, God's time is the right time. Look what it says. It says, wait on the Lord. I like that word Lord through it all. Be of good courage. He wants to encourage our hearts to do what's right. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We're going to rest in him. We're going to wait patiently for him to move and work in life. And he wants your church to be on fire for him. He wants us to be on fire. Set me afire, Lord. That's a song. I like that song. Set my heart afire, Lord. We need to get some Holy Ghost revival in our hearts and fire. That God is going to do something for you. He's going to do something for this church. He's going to do something for this community. The Lord's going to do something for this whole nation of ours, which is desperate need of the Lord. We kick God out of the school, prayer, and look what's happening. Look what's happening today. No fear of God whatsoever. I think every day we have a shooting in Montgomery. Somebody's getting killed. No reason at all. Just want to kill somebody. But they've taken the Ten Commandments out of the school. So what they doing? They're doing what's right in their own eyes. The only thing they know is pull out a gun and shoot somebody. But we need revival. But going back to Psalm 37, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. And here's that word, fret. Don't be fearful. Not thyself because of him who prosper in ways, because of man who bringeth wicked device to pass. And I don't know if you had a chance to read this whole psalm, but if you haven't, I'd like for you to read it before this week's over. Read that psalm. It's a great psalm. And the Lord is laughing at the wicked, all their wickedness. There's going to be a payday someday. But what a wonderful message we have here, that we're resting, we're waiting, and we're expecting the Lord to do something we can't do, grow your church. No one pastor can grow your church without the Lord. And we need the Lord. And I know y'all don't want this to be the same old all the time. Y'all want something different. Y'all want to see people walking this aisle getting right with God. And it goes back to trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way in the Lord, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Let's bow in prayer, okay? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the message you gave, that we can encourage these people, Lord, to live for you and serve you. And we ask you to send revival in all of our hearts, Lord, including myself. We need revival. We need your touch upon our lives, Lord, that we'll be a different person next Sunday we come in here, that we have a heart to love you above everything and see what God is going to do. May we come with expectation that the Lord is going to save people and people are going to turn their life over to you to serve and to dedicate themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a Lord of our life and a King of our life. And Lord, we thank you that you're the Lord of our love. You love us. You want the best for us. So Lord, we pray today as we sing this last hymn that you just speak to our hearts, Lord. We need you. Revive our hearts, Lord. We just thank you for this message you gave me, and Lord, just use it for your glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen.